Amen. But anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to look at verse number 6. And this is Paul, and he's writing his basically his final message to a young preacher that he's been training, left behind. And he's reminding him to preach the word of God. And he's telling him, I'm leaving off the scene. And he said, you need to preach the word. You need to preach the word, and you need to do it when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, but just preach it. He said, because the time's coming that people's going to turn away their ears from the truth. And I'd say we're probably in that time right now. And he said they're turning away their ears from the truth. They're going to be turned to fables. And fables are just made up stories. And he reminds him that that's what you do. I've trained you to do that. And any real preacher, when he's training other preachers, he said, he'll teach them. You preach the Bible to them. When I'm training missionaries, I tell them, if you want to move these men, you better preach the Bible to them, because it's not you that's powerful. It's the Word of God that is quick and powerful. It ain't us. Anything that's done that's good and moves men toward God, it's the power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. We just happen to be the instrument in his hand, and he gets all the glory. But here Paul reminded him to preach the word, and here's why. He said in verse number 6, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Father, I pray that you'd help us today to help these people that's assembled here. I pray that you'd open up their hearts and minds to your truths, illuminate their minds if they're not saved, and draw them to repentance and faith. I pray that you'd just fill us with your power, anoint us afresh, and bring to our remembrance what we've been faithful to study. We love you and thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to try to preach to you this morning on this song here, Famous Last Words. And this is basically Paul's last testimony that he gives. He's getting ready to leave this world. He's soon going to be off the planet. And I would say this just as a sidebar. I hear preachers sometimes saying, what are we going to do if this old man dies off? I've even heard him preach that, you know, if you're not, when they preach out of Psalms about being eat up with it, and they'll name off preachers and say, you know, these guys are eat up with it. And I just don't see other preachers, other young guys coming along. And I'm thinking, man, trust me, they somebody somewhere. God's going to slide right in your slot, and we ain't going to miss a lick. Amen. Well, they ain't none of us here replaceable. And Paul is reminding him that he's got down to his final race, and he's reminded him that he's ready to be offered. And he's laid out his testimonies here. But the thing about last words is this, that last words have always interested people. You know, I mean, they interest me, and sometimes I get to digging around and saying, what was the last thing that person said? And, you know, they record a lot of that. And there was a fellow, his name was James Rogers, and he was executed in Utah in 1960. He had killed a miner, and they took him out, and they had two forms of execution. They'd either hang you or use a firing squad. And he chose a firing squad, and like they always do, they asked the inmate, do you have any last words? He said, yes, I do. Bring me a bulletproof vest. Amen. They didn't give him his request, and it was denied, and he died. But, you know, Winston Churchill, his last words were, I'm bored with it all. He had lived so long and saw so much and experienced so much, he said, I'm done here. This place bores me, and I'm finished with it. Can I tell you, you can live that long, and you can get that bored with this world. My mother wanted to die for 2 years. That's why I comfort myself when I know when I go out to her grave, and, And when I think about her, she had told me 2 years before she died, she wanted to leave this world. She said, I'm blind. She said, I can't hear good. She said, I can't go to church anymore. She said, I'm just bored. She'd outlived 5 of her children, and she said, I'm just done with it all. And the last time I saw her audibly, where she could speak, she had her hand up toward heaven, begging God to let her come. Can I tell you, you can live long enough to where you're bored with this place. And I'll tell you this, the longer I live, the more I'm bored with this place. You know, some folks said, well, I want to go to heaven, but not today. You catch me on some days, and I'd load up, son. I'd leave out of here, because every once in a while, I get bored with this place. I'm very content with everything that God has given me. I'm very content with what I'm doing. I'm very content with my life and the work that I'm doing. And look, if he chooses to take me in the next little bit, I'm content with that. Amen. Because I'm going to be in heaven. Amen. Now, the most famous last words, of course, were Jesus' last words. The last words Jesus Christ ever spoke was in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and into Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Bible said, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The last thing on his mind was you and now you and I to go out and witness to somebody and let them know that there's a way to heaven. Amen. That's the last thing you charged them preachers to do, was to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't matter if it's at school, or at work, or wherever you're at, the nursing home, the jail. He said, you just go tell them, because in the end, that's the most important thing that you and I could ever tell anybody, is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But look here, in this passage of scripture, Paul, he reminds us of what he lived for and what he longed for. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. Can I tell you something, friend? Paul fought in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
And Paul knew this. He said, I have fought a good fight. There's one thing I know about myself. I have preached with God helping me and without Him helping me. Amen. I have learned to preach that good to where I can get an outline and I can go through the motions. I can come to church and act like everything's just fine when I know in my heart and in my mind it's not. Amen. But Paul said this. He said, I fought a good fight. The thing about a good fight, son, it will get you pumped up. Amen. Paul said, I fought a good fight. There was no doubt in his mind that he had done it. And I'm going to tell you something. Fighting is a good thing sometimes. There's some things worth fighting for.
Amen.
I got invited down to Memphis Judo and Jiu-Jitsu about 6 months ago. And them guys down there heard that I'd trained in Kung Fu. And they said, we want that guy to come down here. And you know what I did? I went down there and I'd been all tensed up and worked up. And I fought them guys for a solid hour and a half. So I was wringing wet. I was bruised all in my chest. I was bleeding, son. Had scratches on my face and stuff. And I felt so good when I left that place that I went home and I told that guy who teaches jiu-jitsu up there, I need to come up here and grab a hold of somebody and fight every once in a while. Amen. It'll help you, friend. I mean, it relieved tensions. That's one thing when I did train martial arts. And I got to beat up teenagers and didn't go to jail for it. I loved it. Amen. But look here. Paul said, I fought a good fight. You know when you've laid it all on the line, son. You know if you've done the best you possibly can. And you know when you send your school, us kids off to school, and you tell them, look, if C's the best you can do, I'm good with that. But if you can make an A and you settle for a C, you know what you've done? You've cheated yourself. You've not put your best on the line. And friend, I'll guarantee when we leave this building today, all next week, wherever we go, whoever we encounter, whatever we do for God, we'll know by the end of the day if we fought a good fight in the spiritual realm or not. Amen? Every once in a while, you get in that spiritual realm, and it's hard to stand up and take blows with the spiritual powers that are. Amen. They look at you like you're insane. But every once in a while, you and I have got to stand up. I believe this last election, amen, between Trump and Hillary. And look here, if you're a Democrat here, I ain't judging you. I ain't giving you a hard time. And I hope you can take a joke. Because the last time I said this, I almost caused a split in the church. I told these people, I said, I am so glad that Hag did not win the election. My end to heaven, I saw a man take his elbow, or a woman take her elbow and hit her husband, and he looked at her like he was terrified. And I thought, son, I would hate to be that afraid of my wife. Amen. But you know what people did? I told one fellow, I said, if you're interested in one thing, you'd better vote for that guy. I don't believe he's a Christian, and he does things I probably don't like. But you know, I told him, I said, freedom. If you want your freedom, son, you better go and vote for that guy. But Jude verse number 3 said, we exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Every once in a while, you got to stand up in the spiritual realm, and you got to tell people that just ain't right. That's still a sin against God. You got to take all the heat that goes with it and let the world and the devil know and your wicked flesh know that I'm going to stand for what's right in spite of what might be going on around me. Every once in a while, you got to do that. He said you got to earnestly contend for the faith. There's some things that are just true. When I go in them prisons, you know what I tell folks? That is somebody's little boy over there. Every cult you could imagine is in them prisons trying to convert those men to their faith. That Red Onion State prison we're in, they've got known terrorists. They got terrorists in that prison. They're on the terrorist list. There was a guy coming up there, Imam, that was teaching up there. And he was teaching them Arabic. And when they found out this guy was on the watch list of terrorists, you know what they did? They kicked him out of the prison. He was teaching them Arabic words. And one of the words he was teaching them was about big trucks. And you know what he left? And when they throwed him out of the prison, what he tried to get a job doing and is working on doing, he's getting his CDLs to drive a tractor and trailer. You go figure. Amen? They're all around you. But every once in a while, you got to stand up and you got to fight for the souls of those men. Look, I don't know why they're there. I don't know how they got there. You know what Jesus was never interested in? When he saw a drunk staggering down the road, when he saw a demon-possessed person, he didn't want to. He didn't ask, how did you get here? He was just concerned about how to get them out of there. And a lot of times we're saying, look, they made their own bed. They need to lay in it. So now I'll guarantee you this, whether somebody's there by their own doings or because of what somebody else led them into, we don't need to worry about that. We just need to worry about getting them out of where they're at and getting them in a good place so they can live for God and have a life worth living. Amen. But Paul said, you've got to get out there and earnestly contend for the faith. People say, you believe the Bible? Guarantee it, son. I can point so many times over the years, men that's got out of prison and is doing so good because they got saved and got right with God in jail. Amen? But anyway, Paul said he had his enemies. He fought in the spiritual realm. You know, there's some folks, as a matter of fact, this fellow back here told me, he said, my wife's going to be disappointed because you're here preaching today. She wanted to hear me preach. That's a blessing. Now, I'm going to tell you, a preacher needs to hear that every once in a while. Amen. We need a good slap on the back every once in a while, but you ain't going to get it all the time. Matter of fact, when people say, hey, man, they just kind of get discouraged. I said, if you're looking for a slap on the back, you need to think about the one Jesus got. Amen? With that cat of nine tails, that's how it's going to be most of the time. But every once in a while, somebody is going to give you a word that's going to help you down the road. But all of us have spiritual enemies. Not everybody loves to see me come preach. Amen? So Some people said I'm too straight. Some of them say I'm too loud. Some of them say I ain't loud enough and ain't straight enough. I don't know what. I'm just going to be who I am and roll with that. Amen? But I do know this. Paul said in Philippians 3:18, for many walk of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Paul said, I was out there just preaching about the cross. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was one of them guys that nowadays you'd see him and he'd be one of them well-dressed. I mean, son wouldn't have a hat, a place type guys. He knew the Bible like the back of his hand. He was like most young people in this building, saved or lost. He had never slept in a hard bed. He'd been sent down there to the church. He'd learned how to live a good, moral, clean life. He didn't fool with anybody that was wicked. He was that guy that your mama would love for you to bring home and say, he's asked me to marry him. But you know, on the road to Damascus one day, hey, God Almighty smote him down and said, you're good, but you ain't good enough. You've done all these things, but you need to be born again. You need to be saved. You are just as lost as any dope head in this town. Amen. And he got his attention. You know what Paul said about that? He said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said nothing else but that cross. Amen. I've been preaching most of my life. I've passed out, I couldn't tell you, tens of thousands of tracts. I've led many people to the Lord. Look here, I've done a lot of things along the way. Look here, gave away more money than I know of. You've done the very same thing. But you know what? We don't do that to get saved or to stay saved. We do that because we are saved. Because He put something down deep in our heart that motivates us to go out and keep a nice church building going, so folks can come in and hear the gospel and get saved by the grace of God. I guarantee you this, all them missionaries you're supporting, hey, one day after a while, God Almighty is going to just remind you, like He did them over there in Matthew 7, I believe it is, when He said, I was in prison and you came and saw me. He said, I was a hungered and you fed me. And you're going to say, when did we do all that? He said, when you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. There's a lot of stuff you've done for God and His glory you don't know nothing about, but I'll guarantee you this, God Almighty knows you've done it. You just got to fight a good fight. Every once in a while, living for God is a real struggle too. Amen. Sometimes we get the idea that it's all going to be easy and we're just going to march on into glory without any trouble whatsoever. It don't work that way. Amen. Look here, Paul had to fight his enemies. Our enemies get in our way every once in a while, and we've got to let them know, son, I ain't going nowhere. You just got to let people know that you're there for the fight. Now look here, you may be one of them fellas that, you know, you might have been like me. When I was growing up, I was always runt of the litter. When I was in high school, I was 5'6". I weighed 118 pounds. But I thought I was 9 foot tall and weighed 350 and was the baddest man on the planet. Amen. I've always been a cocky little jerk. Amen. I'll guarantee you this. I got beat up so many times. But look here, when they saw me coming by, they said, that fella right there, he's kind of like the bulldog and the skunk. The bulldog knows he could tear him up, but it just ain't worth the stink, son. You know what they do? They say, you can whip him, but he'll latch on to you and give you a run for your money. Every once in a while, that's how you're going to have to do for God. When you don't feel like fighting, son, you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to strap it up and you're just going to have to get bulldog mean and batten down the hatches and run out the storm. Amen. Amen. Every once in a while, you ain't going to want to come to church over here. Amen. You ain't always going to enjoy His sermons and the songs ain't always going to be uplifted. Amen. Look here, God breathed on this book and He never wasted His breath. Amen. 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 And He reminds us every once in a while, this thing gets a little bit difficult. He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, that's through hardness and barely. Some days I barely make it, but I make it. Amen. You got to get up, put one foot in front of the other, so I don't feel like it, do it anyway. The Bible tells you why. You ever get up in the mornings and wonder, man, why in the world is things going like they are? Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this earth. He said against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I tell you, there's not a doubt in my mind that there's governments in this world that the devil is totally in charge of. You take North Korea, that guy over there, he's gaining weight while people are starving to death and dying in the streets. Amen. And he said, look here, when I get a look here, he done shot missiles over Japan and other countries. And when he gets a nuclear weapon, guaranteed that old boy will push a button. You can't tell me he ain't full of the devil and doing stuff like that, sending slave labor over to Russia and them taking that. Russia is an atheist nation. God ain't allowed nowhere in that place. China tearing down churches over there. You can't tell me they ain't Antichrist. You can't. Look here, you look around this country. Look, our country is probably the most godly nation on this globe. But we got forces in here. If they could shut us all down and do it, they'd think they're doing the world a favor. Son, I'm telling you, we are wrestling against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When the leader of Iran says, when I get a nuclear weapon, I'm going to use it on Israel. And that's in 2018. We ain't talking about 2 centuries ago.
Amen.
Son, it's got serious. When ISIS is cutting people's heads off, and look here, them folks ain't done. Them folks ain't done. They just been beat in submission right now. But they coming back. They're still doing their dirty little deeds. Look here, you can't tell me that we ain't fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. When I've sat in chapels myself, and chaplains in the state of Tennessee have told me myself that if you preach against sodomites, if that hate crime bill passes, you're looking at 15 years in prison. You can't tell me that we ain't got lawmakers that's totally opposed to the work of God. But you know what you got to do? You got to get up, and in spite of threats against you and against your God and against your Bible, you got to get up and you got to fight a good fight. Amen. That's just how it is. But anyway, they're enemies of the cross. Look here. He said, but their end is going to be destruction. If you're going any other way other than the cross, it's destruction. Guarantee it. Amen. But look here, Paul had to deal with his enemies, but he had to deal, and here's something about your enemies. You need to realize there's a spiritual force. They're children of disobedience, and they're drove by that spirit of disobedience, according to Ephesians 2, I believe it is. Can I tell you? Look here, Paul had his enemies. We're going to have ours. Paul had to deal with his emotions. You ever get emotionally wrecked? Look here. That's how your life ought to be. If you are normal. Amen? You ever seen people want to be happy all the time? Those people are freaks. Period. That's just all you say. They're freaks. Amen? You ever seen a guy that's mad all the time and said, dude, you need to get you some help. You ever seen somebody that no matter what's going on, I'm talking about son, gravy train, biscuit wheels, they can have everything in the world, and say, what's going on? So I'll just, and then just rain on your parade. So thanks, Debbie Downer. Wah, wah, wah. All you Saturday Night Live fans, you know who I'm talking about. Debbie Downer. No matter how good it is, they're always depressed. There's something wrong with you if you've got it that good. We got millionaires killing themselves. You know why? Because they're happy on the outside, sad on the inside. They need some help. You know, most of those men I preach to in jail, they're mad and they're bitter and they're angry. And I tell them all the time, your bitterness is eating you up. Your anger is killing you. And all them people and all them things you're mad at and hate. I said, they don't even know you're even over here. And they don't care. Look here, but if you're like this, you ever had people say, preacher, me and my wife's been arguing. Duh. How many people have ever done that with your wife? I'll be the first one to raise my hand. You can raise your hand too. She don't care. Amen. As sweet as they are, don't they look so nice? I guarantee she has got on his nerves and he's got on hers. They've been married 100 years. Look at them. Amen. They're friends of mine. They're friends of mine. They can take it. People just, preacher, we're not happy down in our house all the time. Move into Seal's home. It ain't happiness down there all the time either. Every once in a while, believe it or not, I get on my wife's nerves. She said, you need to shut up. I know some of you teach your kids, shut up's a cuss word, but I told mine a bunch, shut it up. Amen. He said, preacher, we're broke. Hey, trust me, I've been there, done that too. Look here, have you ever deal with your emotions? Look here, we've all got emotions. And you can experience all them emotions. You can be elated and you can be depressed. Now, so high and so low in a short period of time. There's days in my life, times in my life, I wish I didn't have a pause button. I'd hit it and said I'd stay there for the rest of my days because I was so happy. Everything was so good. But look here, all them days when it wasn't good and I was an emotional wreck and my heart was broke, I learned something about God. I learned something about myself. I learned something about my friends. I learned something about my church. I learned something about my Bible. I learned something about my prayer closet. I learned that it's all good no matter what's going on. God's going to take care of all that. Amen. But Paul had to deal with his emotions. In the spiritual realm, you're going to have to fight a good fight. He said this in 2 Corinthians 1:8, our trouble which we had in Asia. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about it. He said, we were pressed out of measure. He said, above strength. Look here, despairing even of life. Have you ever got up and you felt like the weight of the world was on your shoulders and you looked around and you thought, why am I depressed? You know, David asked that question, oh my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? And why art thou cast down? All of us get depressed. Some days we get up and we think, why? Me and my wife's getting along good. There's money in the bank and the bills are paid and we got a solid foundation under us. I mean, things are good at church. I mean, our kids are doing great. And we look around and we think, man, why in the world would I, look here, we're all healthy, we're all saved. And you think, why in the world would I be so oppressed? You know what it is? It's the devil putting heat on you, son. Feel like you got the world on your back. You've been pressed out of measure. He said, above your strength, you're thinking, I am going to cash it all in. Can I tell you, you can quit what you're doing, but it ain't going to make it no better. There's a lot of men that'll go out and find them another woman besides their wife. And I tell them, son, you might as well keep the one you got, because if you get one, I get another one. She ain't going to like you no better in 6 months. It's not her, it's you. Amen. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. We all have them times where we feel like we're going to be crushed by the responsibility. You know how why so many men walk off and leave their families? They don't like that responsibility. They like all the play time, but they don't like all the hard times. Amen? I remind men, I said, sir, if they pull the car out of the driveway, it ain't your wife's fault, it's your fault. If they ever turn the lights off at your house, it's not her fault, it's your fault, sir. If your kids ain't doing what they need to do, you need to man up and you need to step up and you need to talk to your kids no matter what direction you go, they go. You let them know, hey, you can do whatever you want. You ain't going to do it here. You need to man up and run your house like God intended you to do it. And son, if that thing falls all to pieces, it ain't their fault, it's yours, buddy. That ain't always easy. You know, most kids, I just can't wait till I get out here until they get out of there. I left home when I was 18. If I had to do that over again, I would have shot myself on the front porch. So then I started paying my own electric bill. I started paying my own car insurance. I started buying my own food, my own clothes. I started paying my own rent. I mean, the electric bill come due. I thought, man, where's all this stuff come from? And when you get married, it's just like you inherit more of that stuff. Me and my wife, I tell people, we married each other for our debts. Amen. I owed for 2 cars. She had a school debt. And son, we just married each other for our debts. Amen. Not our money. And look here. But every once in a while, we despair even of life. You think it's going to kill you someday? It ain't going to do it. Look here, if you ever get that depressed, you know what you need to do? You need to go to bed. You need to eat you something good, and you need to go to bed. It worked for Elijah. He ate like a hog, slept like a log, and the whole world was different when he woke up. Amen?
Sometimes a good meal and a long nap. Look here, the world ain't going to collapse, and your troubles may stay there. But can I tell you this? You'll get up, and you'll be renewed in your strength. Emotionally, you won't be tired, and you'll feel like fighting the whole world again. Just go on and do what you need to do. Emotionally, just come on over here. We all going to get broken. What do you think church is for? When we all get under the pressure, man, you hear a good sermon, you hear a good song, you hear a good testimony. Somebody comes by and says, hey, man, I really appreciate you. You know why all that is to help you get back in the car and go face all of it down the road. Amen. Hey, man, that's why I like church. But anyway, it worked for John the Baptist. He said, look, John the Baptist, greatest man ever lived. Yes. And guys, they're going in prison. Sometimes they tell them inmates, well, I'm just too blessed to be depressed. I said, yep, that guy's leaving at the end of the service. He ain't doing 20 years. You go to prison 20 years, trust me, prison is a very difficult place to be. You don't want to be there. But anyhow, does this make any sense, y'all? I mean, Paul fought in the spiritual realm. Paul fought with spiritual resources. You know what we try to do? We try to latch on to spiritual things and our own reasoning. It don't fit in. There's some things you'll never explain as long as you live. There's some things you'll never understand as long as you live. You know, and you know what? You just enjoy it. And as you enjoy it, you just rest on it that, hey, man, it works. And it's called faith. You're just trusting whoever built it and whoever's doing it to get it done. Amen? I was on the jet one time, and the pilot came walking by me. And we had our seatbelts on, and he come walking by me. And I said, hey, buddy. I said, what are you doing out of your seat? He's driving that thing. It's all good. We got four other guys up there and five computers. It's good. I had to know that, though. Amen? I didn't know how to fly the plane. And look, if that thing starts going down, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have to ride till I hit the ground and hope it works out. That's all I know. Amen? There's some things you do. You just have to hang on for dear life and just realize that, hey, I can't figure this thing out. I can't figure out why my nephew would live 27 days and my papa would 104 years. I can't understand why some people that's awful and it works out good for them and somebody that's good and that thing's all the time fall. I can't figure all that out. But I do know this, that God's got his hands on it. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hey, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not flesh and blood. He said, they're mighty, and they're mighty through the power of God Almighty, who still has all power both in heaven and in earth. That's how we get through it. He's gave you some weapons over in Ephesians chapter 6. He said the armor of God. He said your loins girded about with truth, and that'll determine how well you live your life for him. Amen. Your loins are girded about with truth. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You've got the shield of faith. You've got the helmet of salvation. You've got the sword of the Spirit. He said, pray in all ways in the Spirit. He said, look here. He said, you've got seven weapons that God gave you. You need to use every one of them. Seven is the number of divine completion. Hey, God gave you all the divine weapons you need to win the war that you're facing, because everybody in this building, saved or not, if you're saved, you have thought about quitting. You might even laid out of church a couple Sundays, but you thought, this just ain't what I thought it would be. I like what Billy Graham said when he was leaving this world. His last text said something like this: our wandering from him has finally caught up with us. He said, you can go down through the woods on a path. And he said, you can get off that path. And he said, you can get off that path. And after a while, you're going to be surrounded by nothing but woods and briars and bushes. He said, are you going to blame the guy that laid out the path? He said, no, you can't do that. He said, look, you can walk off and leave God and you can find happiness. He said, you can find something that's going to be easy. He said, you can find some enjoyment. He said, for a while. He said, but then it's going to catch up with you. Can I tell you something, friend? You may get out there and enjoy the sins of the flesh, but it will run you down. There's men that I talk to that sometimes talk about drinking. They enjoy themselves at first, but years on down the road, there's guys in my prison. They've been in prison 20 years. They said, I've never went to a parole hearing because my daddy told me, son, one day you're going to get yourself killed. Are you going to kill somebody else? And he said, I used to laugh at him until I killed two people. He said, I've been in jail 20 years, got five more to go. And he said, I don't deserve to be out. You got to live with that the rest of your life. It'll run you down. Amen. You can go out there and enjoy your education. Ain't it amazing what education does to people? It liberates them so much. Money and education. They think, man, I know everything and I've got everything. But out there in pieces of paper, they get a little yellow after years. Can I tell you, there's so many people got their head full of so much stuff that ain't true.
That's right.
Amen. There's people with PhDs that's out looking for Bigfoot.
Amen.
They are. There's people with PhDs that's up there looking for aliens. And we ain't never heard from one of them. Spent trillions of our dollars to try to track them down. You're talking about robbery, son. We have been ripped off. Amen. They're over here in these universities saying, look, it started with a big bang and a tadpole. And then that tadpole turned into a monkey eventually. And that monkey over a period of time, it turned into a man. And they tell us we believe in fairy tales. Their head's full of foolishness.
Amen.
You can talk it and you can know it. You can even hear some of these preachers sometimes. Heard of this one guy, he was talking about one of those big name preachers. He was preaching on the prodigal son, about the father running down to greet him. He said, well, it really didn't happen that way. He said, because in the Greek, men didn't run because they're afraid that they would show their undergarment and they would have to hold him up. And he said, there's multitudes of evidence to prove that point. No, there's not. There ain't never been nobody dumb enough to even write a book that stupid. I wouldn't read it anyway. There's a guy one time handed a friend of mine a book he wrote about tithes and why we shouldn't wear tithes. What a dumb book. He said, I'll read it. He read it and he said, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Amen. But anyway, got all these weapons. You need to use them. Them things wear you down. Amen. But anyway, let me get back to what I said. Paul finished his spiritual race. He said, I finished my course. Goodness gracious, it's 12:20. We got to quit somewhere. You want me to finish this tonight?
Mind the Lord.
Oh, that's what I said. What time I start preaching? I told you. Huh? Well, I'll tell you what, I believe I will. Hey, God, you just talked me into it, buddy. Amen. Nah.
That's...
Amen. I tell you what, I'll finish this tonight. I preached a long time. But look here, I really do kind of feel like I'm done. That's why I asked it. Paul fought in the spiritual realm, and he fought with spiritual resources. I'm going to finish this up, and I got two more points. It's good, too. Amen. It'll help you. That's what we're here for. We're in the middle of a spiritual warfare, and we've got to use our spiritual resources to win this thing. We can't fight with flesh and blood, because I'm telling you, there's powers, and you need to underline powers, because there's some powerful people that the devil controls.
Amen.
There's powerful governments and powerful people in the governments that we're fighting against our very life. This book, everything we stand for is at stake. Look here, we done lost what the family is. See all these commercials about, I'm a family, I'm a family, I'm a family. I'm going to tell you something, I come out of a divorced home. Probably some of y'all did too. Maybe some of y'all are divorced and remarried. I had a pretty good stepdaddy. But can I tell you something? God never intended that. He intended a man and a woman and the kids. Man leading it, woman being subjected, and them children being protected by both of them. Amen? And it's not here, here, and here. It's kind of like here, here, and here. God set up a line of defense. Now, I'm telling you, we're in a spiritual warfare. And that's about as plain as I can put it. God, look here, as a family goes, so goes a country.
Your house is so important. When you close that door down there, that you be real in front of your kids, you be real with each other. We're in a spiritual warfare, because as our country goes, that's how we're representative. Our representatives are representative of us. Amen? Because we're the ones that put them up there. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this time. Lord, I pray that you put your hand on what we're trying to do here. Help us, Lord, during this altar call. If people need to pray, let them come and pray. Lord, whatever their situation, however they got there, whatever's going on, help them realize we're not here to hurt them, we're here to help them. Help them to see, Lord, that they might be in a mess because of some bad decision they made, or because somebody they knew made it and they went along with it. Whatever reason they're there, Lord, we're not concerned with that. I pray that you'd help them see that you offer a way out, that you can help them. Lord, move in this time of altar call in Jesus' name. Amen.